Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. I guess first time with you here this morning on this Getaway Friday, historic day here in Marion. Friday, March the 1st, 2024, the 30th anniversary, the actual 30th anniversary of Mary Ellen being sworn in as Treasurer of the United States of America. Joined in studio by the man who was at the helm this morning, Pastor Craig. So glad. Thank you for doing that this morning, Pastor.
Oh, you're welcome.
Carrington Nelson is here with us, and Matt Morgan, who've been along on the trek. Now, we have had a lot of fun the last 2 days, and we're going to tell you in extensive form tonight how everything's went. So tune in for that, because at noon today we're going to do current events, as we always do during the noon hour. And we've still got Elgin and the big reception, which we hope everybody comes out to at 3:30 today at Kingston. So we'll tell you all about that tonight. But a thumbnail sketch of what you've seen so far, Matt, at these events. So far we've done Harding, we've done Pleasant, and we just got done doing River Valley.
I mean, Mary Ellen gives her speech. The kids tend to love the speech. It's a good speech. So you know, there is that. The video always comes off well. There's a 11-minute video with some of the. I think that's the swearing-in ceremony and after the swearing-in ceremony. I think it comes off well. I think that the schools couldn't have been more happy to have Mary Ellen there.
Well, that's been an interesting thing. A lot of people think it's from a bygone era, but if you're at these schools where these kids were all born after Mary Ellen was out of office, certainly doesn't seem like a bygone era, certainly during this time.
No, you wouldn't think so. Like today, she gave autographs, and there was loads of people lined up.
And they kept coming. We had to cut it off.
We did, yes.
It was like a concert. Carrington?
Yeah, there was a girl who said that last night at work she had gotten a dollar bill with Mary Ellen's signature on it. She searched for it, yeah, and then she got that autographed. So, I mean, the fact that she was thinking about it before it was going on shows that, you know, it does have an impact on the younger people, even if they were born after she was even out of office.
Well, we had to cut it off at one point, like I said, so we went to pictures instead of autographs, so the kids got the group pictures on their cell phone. That's a great thing about cell phones is we were able to do that. But as I'm sitting over there, and the line, no joke, was long and kept growing to a point where they said, stop sending people down here who want to do this. As I'm standing over there with the kids, doesn't she look nice? I mean, that was what was being said over in the line. So there was it was something for them to meet her, which was great.
Yeah, I thought going to Harding yesterday was a nice, like, warm-up event in the sense that it was, like, a smaller class size, and they got to ask questions, even if they didn't ask a bunch of questions at Harding. It was a little early, I guess. And then we got to go to Pleasant and do a pretty big assembly there, and that's my alma mater, so, of course, I thought the kids were the most well-behaved there. I think that one went wonderfully.
Now, wait a second. Now, the kids have been well-behaved in general.
Journalistic integrity.
Now, the kids at River Valley, yes. Once they were not bad this morning at all.
Yeah, I mean...
And the kids at Harding didn't... I didn't even know they were there.
That's so true. They were quiet as a mouse, that's for sure.
Yeah, but as far as... I don't even know. It's hard to say, because the kids at River Valley, we had a Q&A session this morning, and they participated.
Except for the kid that asked the same question right after the first question was asked. He wasn't paying attention, so mark a point down there.
Yep. Trying to get Pleasant those there's always a rivalry between River Valley and Pleasant. It's just the way it is.
No, it did go well, though. The Q&A was fun. I wish we would have done that yesterday as well, but...
They had a great setup at River Valley this morning. They had us in blue light on the stage, and they had the Viking chairs that they use at the games up there, and the mic. I can finally say that the miking system finally works again at River Valley. Thank God, after all those years of that horrible PA system they had, it finally works again. So all was well. I was actually in there doing a mic check at 7:30 this morning. That's kind of a funny, interesting thing. I walked in this morning because Mary Ellen and Sean were out in the car, and these two were, you know, hungover from last night.
Hey, you said 7:45 we needed to be there, and we were there.
I was there. So I walked in as the kids were coming to school this morning, and I walked in the auditorium, and the only people in there were the sound guys, and I walked up on stage to see what the setup was, and I got behind the podium to see if that looked okay for Mary Ellen, and somebody yelled out from the, hey, Scott, test the mic. So I'm down there doing the mic tests this morning at about, that's what I was doing at 7:30 this morning. I was doing mic tests.
Well, let me tell you what I was doing at 7:30.
What were you doing at 7:30?
I was sitting there in my slippers and robe drinking coffee and saying, was I supposed to do something this morning?
Oh, my goodness. You forgot the really big show.
And then I remembered.
You remembered the really big show.
Fortunately, it's only a 15-minute drive here.
Thank goodness. It's good to live close. It always pays to live close. But, you know, that was it was interesting. I like that, though. I feel more confident doing the mic check than having somebody else do it for me. I don't like walking up to a mic that I haven't tested.
I mean, you know it's going to work for you if you've already done it. So.
That's right. And you guys, whatever. If it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
That's true. It did. It all worked out. It was good.
Now, Pastor Craig, you'll be at the reception later on today at 3:30, again, open to the public at Kingston. What have you made? Last time we spoke, we certainly didn't know that the AP was going to pick it up everywhere from ABC to Fox News to Yahoo News. Marion Star, it's on the front page of the paper today. If you want a commemorative paper, go pick up a Marion Star somewhere today. It's on the front page. Wow, it's been great.
Yeah, and it's a little bit surprising that it's maybe as big as it is, but it's not undeserved. I think it's well deserved. It is an important event. And like last hour, I was talking with one of the callers that, you know, it's too easy to forget history and to forget our heritage and forget our past and not really remember or recognize the accomplishments of other people. So I think it's well deserved.
Well, and one thing about this that I like a whole lot is that these kids who, as we've talked about, were not born when she was out of office are getting acquainted with her and getting to see her and visit her when possibly there would be no chance for that to happen at this point. Because when she was in office, she did come and speak to the schools a lot. They always wanted her at the schools. But that hasn't happened for a few years. So now this generation is getting a chance to see that. And it's turning out very, very well. I don't think they know. I don't think we do a very good job in Marion of publicizing anything beyond President Harding.
I would agree.
And that's a mistake. Because we do have some things here. Norman Thomas, I think, whether you like socialism or not, he was a thing. Certainly Mary Ellen Withrow. There are things that we really should be publicizing that we don't at all. And I don't think people understand it. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely...
person who was born after she left office.
I'm on it. I knew who Mary Ellen Withrow was before coming here, but that was just from my parents, and like they were like,
"Didn't they steal her phone number?"
No, they okay. They
This isn't like something I wasn't supposed to say on the air.
No,
was
this
it?
Is fine.
Okay.
So, we are neighbors with one of Mary Ellen's friends, and this neighbor was having a birthday party, and so
Mary Ellen came.
Yes, Mary Ellen came to the birthday party, and there was like a group chat of everybody that was invited to the party where they're like giving out, you know, details about the party and what time to arrive and everything. My mom was like scrolling through the contacts, and she was like, you know, I bet one of these numbers is Mary Ellen's in there, and she was thinking about just like, you know, trying to figure out who it was just so she could say she had Mary Ellen's number in her phone, so...
Carrington, now you know what Scott does to get the numbers of the people
that's
he
how
wants
you do
to
it.
Interview.
That's how you do it.
Oh, yes. You just happen to be in group chat.
Get them anywhere.
Snatching those numbers.
Snatch
okay.
those numbers.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, so my parents knew who she was, but, like, personally, before coming here, I didn't know a lot about her. I still don't really know what a treasurer does. I know it's dealing with money.
Well, they asked twice today. You didn't pick up on either one of the
no,
answers.
No, I was listening.
That's the question that was asked twice.
No, it wasn't. It was how much money have you signed? That's what was asked twice.
You know, I hate people with memories. Excuse me, at that point, I needed an oxygen tank because I ran from the front of the auditorium to the back of the auditorium to get the mic back there.
I'm just saying, I was paying attention. I heard it. I know they deal with money and everything, but... I mean,
yeah, imagine that. They deal with money.
I know, but she talked about, like, how she was kind of, like, the face of it all and stuff. So I guess I just don't know, like, what's a day in the life of the treasurer of the United States like? Which, I mean, I should have asked her.
There it is. Pastor Craig's got it for you.
There. Oh, okay. So, oversees the Bureau of Engraving.
Just listen to the first
hour. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, replay the first hour at some point.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, Matt? Now, you knew about Mary Ellen because when you were going to come to one of my cookouts and I said she was going to be there, you had been aware of who she was. I don't think you'd ever met her.
Yeah, I've never met her, but I knew who she was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and he's younger than you.
I knew who she was because
what kind of home
my
do
mom.
You live in?
My parents told me about her. I just, like, I'm not super into knowing all the political stuff. Like, if President Harding were alive and were to walk into this room, I don't know if I know what he looks like. I'd be like, oh.
President Harding has walked into this room.
Okay, well,
more than
I, and
more
I wasn't
than once.
Here for it, so I guess I just don't know what he looks like. So, but I knew she was the treasurer of the United States.
Well, then you know.
And people are like, oh, that's so cool.
You know, when I told, I think I was in my grandma's house at the time, and I had mentioned that I was going to your cookout, and Mary Ellen was going to be there, and then my uncle had said, that's the lady whose name's on the money.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Well, that's the thing to know. You know, that's what she did. I mean, that's what you want to know, and I think that's very important. Now, the video, which this is the debut of this video, it's a documentary form type of video, has played very well at the schools. You know, it's 11 minutes, but they've watched, and they've listened, and it's been good.
Ooh, except at River Valley, where the video wasn't very loud.
I wasn't going to break that up.
Another point down there.
I wasn't going to break that up, but...
It was pretty quiet. I was like, want me to run back there and turn it up? Like, I don't know what the sound guys are doing, but come on, guys. Like, I'm on stage and I can barely hear it.
Well, they passed their levy this past November, so
yeah,
I'm
get
sure
that
they get that
fixed,
yes.
Okay, yeah, we need to let them know that that needs to be priority number one.
Now, do you remember last Friday night when we had the discussion about you should run things through your head before you say them out loud?
Yes.
This is one of those moments.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We're having a good time.
Okay.
Now, how do you feel? Because this is the first time, I mean, you've been in very rarely a chance to get up in front of big groups like this, certainly be a part of a historical event. Matt, I think it's your very first time. You've done it three times now, two in front of big crowds of over 600 people. How's it going?
I like doing it. I think it makes me just a better speaker overall, which is obviously important if I'm going to be on the radio talking. So I enjoy the exposure and getting to gain confidence.
And your name. Oh, by the way, explain this. Now, this is a good thing because, remember, people can't see it. So
that's
explain
true, right.
Explain what River Valley Valley did this morning. Pleasant didn't do this. River Valley
yes,
did this.
Yes, yeah. Pleasant just gave her a gift that was a nice flower pot.
Throw it in. River Valley gave her a big signed...
Yeah, a poster,
a poster
on the wall.
With everybody...
Flowers
with
die.
Everybody signed.
Live forever.
Yeah, for the flowers will die. Go ahead.
At River Valley, they created a little newspaper-looking page that says the Viking Post at the top and says the 30-year anniversary Mary Ellen Withrow, and it just talks about the events and like the order of events and gives a little brief synopsis of what she did and how she was the only... person to go from county to state to national treasurer, and yeah, some pictures of Mary Ellen whenever she was sworn in. So it was cool. I thought that was really thoughtful of them to do that.
And we got a nice mention there, which is great because that went to everybody who attended the assembly this morning.
Yes, it says WGH right on there.
Yeah, and it's your name's on there too.
My name is on there, yeah. And Matt's and yours.
Yeah.
We're celebrities.
That's the way it goes. That's the big deal.
Can I have your autograph?
Yeah, we'll need an autograph on that. We'll
sure,
hang it on the
sure.
wall. You know, it's an interesting thing because the last school we haven't done yet is Elgin. And that's, of course, where Mary Ellen's political career started. So that's interesting to me. That'll be an interesting moment. You know, I don't think the population at Elgin is what it is at Pleasant or River Valley. But to go back there.
So we'll see what they give her. So
yes, yes.
Precedent has been set. You know, a potted plant, a big wall poster.
Harding gave her dinner. Nice sand sodas, catered it in,
so,
cookies,
so
all kinds of things.
Elgin better do it up big.
Elgin's got to do it up big today. They got to get her something. All right, we got a call. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning from Idaho, Scott, Matt, Harrington.
Good morning.
Good
How
morning.
You doing?
Sounds like you guys have had quite the busy morning.
A couple busy days.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's
well,
new with you?
Scott, after some thinking, I think I finally have a good hint for what's in that package if it entices you to open it on the air real quick.
You want me to open it right now?
Yeah, I mean, it was for your birthday. It arrived a couple days late anyway.
Oh, okay. I was going to hold till tonight, but I can open it now.
All right, so here's the hint.
Here's the hint, so, before I open it.
It is something that is more for you, but it is something that all three of you could use.
I have to share the birthday gift with a Heckle and Jekyll here?
If you want to, you don't have to.
Okay. Well,
I'm excited. Thank you.
I'm going to get a paper cut. We'll say hello to our friend in Idaho while I open up this thing.
What time is it in Idaho? It's 7:30 right now? I did the math.
It's 7:30.
Oh, wow. Do you work today?
Nope. Today and tomorrow are my last days off.
Oh, yay! That'll be nice.
Assuming there's no surprise overtime and I don't get called in.
Right. Who knows? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
At this point, I try not to plan anything out, because if I have plans, then something comes up.
Then they give you the surprise overtime you weren't expecting, and you're like, okay.
I mean, I'll take the money, but I mean, come on, I had plans, you
right?
know?
Right? Oh, wow. Sky is digging deep into this gift here. We're out of the box and onto the bag that looks like Santa's sack.
It's gray.
Okay, well, it's gray and green. Yeah, no, those are Christmassy.
No, it needs to be like, you know, red and white.
Okay, it's Santa's sack shaped. Maybe the colors aren't there, but it looks like it. Oh, and there's green little like dots, the line pattern on them. It's a very detailed bag, honestly. I like it.
Oh,
I've always been a fan of the Amazon gift wrapping, honestly.
It's a very nice snowball ice microphone from Logitech. Well, these are the very nice microphones.
They are, yes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh my gosh,
you had to drop a little money on this. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I figured it was a USB microphone. It would be perfect for when you're out on the go doing stuff remotely. You can hook it up to your laptop or even your phone with an adapter if you had to.
Well, absolutely. I certainly appreciate that. That's very, very nice of you. I that's very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. You definitely deserve it, Scott.
Well, I don't know what I've done, but thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Hey, thanks for what? No, go ahead.
Oh, I was done.
Oh, okay. Well, no, thank you, and thank you for always being there and listening. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, anytime. I love listening to WGH.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye-bye. What a nice gift.
That is.
That's a very nice gift.
That is so nice. We should set it up right now. Live on air, listen
we're
to us.
We're doing a show. I think sometimes you're unaware that there's a show going on.
Harrington's, can I speak into the microphone first?
Aye.
I'm like, can I use your gift first?
By the way, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I think I was mid-question before Carrington hijacked it there. Speaking, how's it going for you, Matt?
Oh, pretty well. I think I forgot half of my speech at River Valley. I'm not going to lie to you. But other than that, I think it went well. I've gotten it all down at all the other schools. I think public speaking skills are a good thing to have. I think everybody should do some public speaking. It's a little nerve-wracking, don't get me wrong, but you know, I think it's for the better probably.
You know what I did not know? I've gotten two nice introductions. At Harding, there really wasn't any need for an introduction, but at Pleasant, the principal introduced me, and the principal introduced me at River Valley this morning, and they had very, I don't know where that bio comes from, though, that they're reading.
I was going to say that because you said, you were like, oh, I didn't give them any bio.
No.
I wonder what they're going to say. But I think they said pretty similar things.
Yes, they did.
They probably just like pulled it off of Wikipedia.
Yeah,
or something.
I think they're pretty well saying the same thing. But
it's
a very nice bio. I think it's probably on the website. Check the website.
It is a very nice bio, yeah.
Yeah, it comes off very good. It makes me sound a lot better than I am.
I mean, I don't know, you say that, but like...
They think they're really getting somebody when they hear that bio.
I mean, all they said was, you know, AP award winner. They said that he's interviewed, you know, Madeleine Albright, and then...
Maya Angelou.
I can't remember who all they listed off.
Betty White gets a big response. Everybody knows Betty White.
Phil Donahue. So they just listed off people who he interviewed. AP award winner.
Could be the Facebook page, though. I know people, that's where the Marion Star used to steal things, was from the Facebook page. So I'm guessing that might be where it is.
Are you writing a bio about yourself on your Facebook page?
No, but like the Scott Spears date, I put that on there to let people know that it had happened. Because it's nice. I mean, basically it's to thank the people who do that sort of thing. Thank the Associated Press. Thank the mayor for doing that, you know. And I think the interview is probably just, it's there. Did you find anything?
Not on the website. I'm checking the Facebook right now to see if that's where it possibly
I'm
came
guessing
from.
The Facebook, because I don't think the Scott Spears Day is anywhere else. So I'm guessing that's where it's coming from. But it's a good bio. It really sounds impressive.
It does. It does sound
so
impressive.
So do you have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
You know, I'll tell you, when the guy was giving the bio this morning, the principal, the response was very good. I got a nice little, I got a good clap there this morning when I was coming up on stage. Or coming up out of my seat, I guess, at that point. So it worked very well. Are you desperate to find my bio?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I don't think it's on here. That's okay.
I'll ask him where it came from.
Yeah, we need to figure it out.
We'll see if it happens at Elgin today.
Okay.
If it happens there, then we'll see where it came from.
Like twice, maybe they just coincidentally said the exact same thing. But like a third time, a fourth time, if they're at the Kingston 2, you get crazy.
I don't know. We'll see what happens at Elgin.
Well, Kingston would be the fifth place.
Yeah, it will be the fifth play. But yeah, we got North Dakota Harding.
Yes.
Now, do you have any beeps with Harding? Because you've had a beef with everybody else who's not pleasant.
Well, there's only been three places.
Right. So, but you've beefed
it's
on
not
River
everybody
Valley.
Everybody else.
Well, it's yeah, I think it is when you it's not pleasant.
Well, yeah, it's just one other school.
But you don't have any beef with Harding.
No, that's fine.
That was fine.
That was fine.
That was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ate a lot.
I did. They fed me. That's why I was
imagine.
Nice.
Imagine.
You know I love to eat. So River Valley, step it up. Yeah, where was the food?
You know, you came in, it was interesting. I don't think there was any food at Pleasant.
No, there wasn't.
No food.
You just brought it up, and I was like, you know what? That's why I was upset. I think that's what it was. I was hungry. I didn't get breakfast this morning. 7:45 is a pretty early morning for me.
Matter of fact, you had to go get your blood sugar this morning up before you came here.
Yeah, of course. I went home, and I got some... Well, I went to Starbucks, and then I also went
home. You
got
home. A green drink.
Yes, it's a matcha.
Avocado tea.
It's matcha. Matcha tea.
What does that do for you?
It just tastes good.
Oh, see, I don't think drinking anything green is good for you.
Yes, it is. What do you mean? All the best things that you drink that are green are good for you.
Really?
Yes.
Monster Energy.
Yes, Mountain Dew.
Like green beer on St. Patrick's Day? Yes. I don't know if that's good for you.
I was thinking more of like kale juice and like all that jazz where you like make some green.
Who is drinking kale juice? Is this a
I
big
mean,
thing?
Not me, but like some people
sell,
that are healthy
we,
do.
We sell kale juice.
You know, they think they're going to live a long time and they drop dead.
It happens.
The kale juice drinkers?
Well, you know what? A lot of this is genetics. A lot of this is just staying away from fast cars and diseases. I mean, you just do what you can do.
I agree. If it's like a hyperfixation and like all you can think about is like what you're going to eat because it's going to impact your long-term health, it's like, okay, come on. You got to start enjoying some things once in a while.
Well,
like,
that's why the gym has always been superfluous to me because this is where you want to spend your life. I don't think it's going to extend your life. So is it strictly a cosmetic thing while you're there? Because that's not where I want to spend a good majority of my life is at the gym.
Maybe it's just having the ability to continue with daily activities sometimes. I mean, not everybody at the gym, but some people that go to the gym are just doing it to, like, get their exercise in. Like, maybe that's their only movement for the day because they have, like, an office job and they don't leave their desk or something.
Maybe.
So just to
I know people who go to the gym. I mean, to be fair, I guess they could be lying, but they go to the gym because they supposedly enjoy it.
What do you think, fair. Pastor? Do you think people really enjoy that gym?
No.
No.
I think it's possible.
Let's talk about cults, because this was a big topic this week. And being a pastor, I don't know that it'll make the noon show today, so I want to we'll get into this. Because, and it's good you two are here, because I don't think we've talked about this, in that...
Is there a new cult?
Huh?
Is there a new cult?
Well, no, but you think that the Taylor Swift group is a cult.
Oh, yeah.
And my conversation this week, I don't think that it is. But I think that sometimes they always say religious cult, but I don't think that religion has anything to do with the actual cults. And I think that a cult is something you don't know you're a part of. So if you say, no, it's not a cult, well, if you knew it was a cult, you probably wouldn't be a part of it. So I don't think people realize they're a part of a cult. What do you think, Pastor? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't think most people who are in cults realize that they're in a cult. And, you know, to me, a cult is a group of people that follow usually like one person, and they're like totally committed to that one person.
Subservient.
Or the ideologies of that person.
But do you think, why do they get so closely associated with religion?
Because there have been some really famous religious cults.
But are they religious?
Well,
a religious figurehead, maybe.
Right, a religious figurehead, exactly. You know, he presents himself as a religious person. Usually, you know, he's got divine inspiration and all this kind of stuff. And so people end up following him. But just cults in general don't have to be religious.
Do you think the Taylor Swift thing's a cult?
Yes, most definitely.
You do? You really think that's a cult? That's a real cult?
I mean, I think when Taylor Swift tells people to go register to vote and that goes up by like 37% that day, I think that's pretty cultish, yeah.
That's a cult? That's what...
I mean, if you're doing the... if you were just actively doing something because the person who you like says to do it, then yeah, you might be in a little bit of a cult to that person.
But then every politician's in a cult. Because they're asking for you to vote for them and telling you lies half the time, and you go out and do it because you like them. Most people don't know anything about the politicians they vote for. I just like that person better.
I see. That's the thing. I don't think you can say that you don't know anything about them, but you just like them better. I don't think that's how that works. You gotta like kind of know them.
Well, that's what people do.
Well, you gotta kind of know them to know what they're like. You know, you like.
But you don't know them. You just see them on television.
I don't know them as a person, but like I know the policy. Like I'm not voting for personality. You're voting for like policy, that kind of thing.
I can guarantee.
Or you're voting by party lines.
90% of the people voting have no idea what those people's policies are.
They're just voting R&D.
Pretty much. Look on election night.
Then yeah, you could say those are that. I mean, you could almost say that those are political cults. Then
I don't think that's a cult, though. I think that is a fanatic. That's where fan comes from. They're fanatics. I don't think that's a cult. I think a cult is something they try to give you a whole mindset, a brainwash. I don't think a politician's trying to brainwash you. I don't think a singer's trying to brainwash you.
For instance, we brought up Taylor Swift.
Yes. Are we bothering you during
no,
the show here?
I was actually trying to get the definition of cult. And
oh, okay. I just wondered because you jumped there. It looked like you got a ding or something on your phone.
Oh, no. We were going into this, and I was like, no. I want to hit them with some facts here about cult and how to define it.
Taylor Swift. I don't think that really qualifies as a cult because I think, you know, cults, it's about that person, that one person that, you know, and it's about their ideology and, you know. And in that sense, I don't think it's a cult. Now, we use that term cult when, like with Taylor Swift, when her fans are like so overzealous and you know, are crazy about it, we say it's like cult, but it's more cult-like.
Yeah, it's more of a comparison than action.
Okay, so now...
Tell us the definition of cult.
Now you can correct me.
So, this is according to Wikipedia, which is the definition I've liked the best, because the initial definition
of
cult...
Go to Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
It's the definition she likes the best.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'll read the Wikipedia one, and then I'll go read the one that comes up first whenever you Google cult.
Okay.
Okay, so Wikipedia says, a cult is a term, in most contexts pejorative, for a relatively small group, which is typically led by a charismatic and self-appointed leader who tightly controls its members, requiring unwavering devotion to a set of beliefs and practices which are considered deviant.
And that would not be Taylor Swift.
Right, no. That's correct. No. That would not be Taylor Swift, and that's actually a good definition. And
that wouldn't be a politician, most politicians.
No. Right, that's why I thought that was the best one. Thank you.
It's the only one.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. Everybody questions me.
I
just know that you got a message there. You'll tell me you didn't get a message, but I know you did.
I didn't get a message.
Because she jumped. I saw her, I got to pick this up.
I didn't get a message.
So what does Merriam-Webster say?
Is she here today?
Yeah.
She came in?
I don't know if this is Merriam-Webster, but the first one that comes up on Google is a system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object.
Now see, they make it specific to religion.
I know, so I was like, you're not going to like that. So I was trying to find a more neutral one.
But some are.
Right.
I just don't think we can call those religions. I mean, I've said during this week that a megachurch, to me, there's a little bit of cultish nature somewhere in there because you don't. When you're filling a stadium up and you're like taking that show on the road, you don't know the preacher, you don't know the person running that thing, and you're obviously donating to it, and you're following that belief system. Now, I don't know if it's deviant or not. I guess it depends on which one you look at. But that is a little off-putting to me in a way.
There are some mega churches that really could classify as a cult. There's one in Columbus. I won't mention their name. But and what they do is they do go for that total control. They do try to separate you from your family. There's a lot of pressure put on you to not have contact with your family if your family is not a member of their cult.
Sounds like Scientology.
No. Well, yes, it is. Yes, Scientology is an example of a cult.
Harry Krishna's used to do that.
Yep. Oops, sorry.
I don't know if they're still around. Do you? Mm-hmm. Is that even a thing anymore?
What?
Harry Krishna's?
I never heard of it. I don't think they are.
They used to hang at airports, and you couldn't see your family.
They used to hang at airports?
Oh, yeah. I tell you a story about my family. We went on vacation to Hawaii in 1974, and that was during the time when the Harry Krishna's were really big. And so they would go to the airports, and they'd have these little poppies that they try to pin on you in exchange for a donation. And so my family was going through the airport, and we were approached by some of the Hare Krishnas, and this one gal came
Sorry,
up.
Sorry, Hare Krishnas?
H-A-R-E.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to have to
do K-R-I-S.
Yeah, I think that's
Harry
right.
Krishnas.
Harry Krishnas. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
And so this gal, she came, she started to pin it on. She said something to my dad about he was a fine gentleman or something.
You had to shave your head.
Yeah, had to shave your head. And
wear a bed sheet.
And yep.
Yeah, wear a bed sheet.
And so my dad wouldn't give him any money or anything, and so the gal took the poppy back from him because he wasn't giving any money.
They that's were so really. Funny. Fanatical about money.
You know, I looked this up, and one of the suggestions is the I guess Hare Krishna murders. Is that a thing? Were they murdering people?
Well, I'm sure everybody's murdered somebody.
Well, right. I mean, if you're a cult, I think.
I don't think they would have liked to have been called a cult.
No. Well, I mean, I don't think cults like to be called a cult. I think the
because they don't think they are.
Yeah, I think.
But
term,
I'm not
the
sure
they,
that
like,
they.
New
see, now that's interesting because I'm not sure that they were because I don't know. They certainly had the brainwashing part of it,
yeah.
But I don't know that they had deviant activity that I'm aware of.
The Hare Krishna guru who left a legacy of murder, fraud, and abuse.
Well, there you go.
I mean, making all of the members shave their heads a little deviant.
No, I think that I don't think they made them.
Oh, okay.
I think that was just part of the thing. You knew you had to.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the army, you know that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like that.
You're either all in or you're not. I mean, it's the bed sheet, to shave the head, it's everything.
You can't participate.
Yeah.
It's all or nothing. Okay. And I think that's kind of what makes a cult though a little bit, where it's like, okay, you're either doing all of this stuff or you're not in, where it's like, there's no question of authority. There's no leniency with anybody.
Usually
there.
like cults will do like, so you know the love bombing term that Carrington brought up forever ago?
Oh, I haven't heard that for a while.
Yeah.
The old love bomb.
Cults like to do that. They like to find people who are like singled out in society and they'll bring them in and they just like shower them with love.
You know what?
Another thing they do is like they like to dangle some kind of prize and be like, if you don't do this, you can't get the main thing that we're all striving for.
Oh, is the lottery a cult?
Kind of. I mean, there are people who play the lottery like it's a cult, yeah.
No, but you know what's interesting about that? You bring up Love Bomb there, but I think there may be a connection between that and a cult because I think a lot of times, you know, because define Love Bomb for people who might not remember what this is all about.
Love bombing is just whenever you like initially meet someone and you're acting like overly obsessed with them and into them without really knowing like who they are as a person. So you're kind of showering them with love and admiration, but like you don't know this person.
It's
enough
not real.
To be saying that. Yeah, it's not
real. So that is kind of a cult. I mean, that sounds very cultish. Obviously, it's toward one person, so it's not like you're trying to recruit others. But that's very cultish in a way. I don't know you, I'm not being real with you, but I'm trying to win you over, and that is we could call that deviant in a way.
Well, and then, I mean, part of love bombing is, like, it doesn't continue, like, you'll do that until you, like, win them over.
Listen, nothing
and then
continues.
And then it's, like, it backs off, and I think cults are a lot like that, too, where it's, like...
Love, hate, love bombs, it's all just a matter of time.
They love bomb you until they get you into the cult, and then at that point, it's just they dangle that...
But why is... No, the question I ask every single time... whether you call it the show or it's the love bomb or it's whatever, why do people never catch on? We know the terms, we know what it is, and yet every time it's a new person, you fall right back into
it. Well, I mean, I don't know that it's so much that I think everybody recognizes that it's a thing. It's just one of those things to where, like, if everybody does it, it's not like, I mean,
have to know. I mean, yeah. You can't think, oh, everybody else was a love bomb, but this person is altruistic they're doing.
I mean, I just think that, for the most part, people believe that everybody love bombs. Even if you don't think you do it.
Do you think they really deep down would admit to I'm being love bombed. I know it.
Maybe.
No. I don't believe anybody would admit that, because then you'd have to admit that the person who you possibly like back because they're doing this is doing a deviant behavior.
I think it's hard to tell in the beginning sometimes, because it's like it's a fine line between like being a regular amount of kind and being like overly obsessed and like doing the love bombing. I feel
you
like.
Don't know the difference like, between a friend who's being nice and somebody who's trying to get a date with you.
No, I'm not saying that.
That's
but like
the difference.
No, just because somebody's pursuing you doesn't mean they're love bombing you. Like if just because they're
pursuing you for what?
Like romantically interested in you. That like being romantically interested does not equal love bombing.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Like I was saying, I think it kind of relates to like saying things that like they don't know to be true. Like obviously if you think the person's pretty and like giving them compliments like based on things that like you know to be
true.
You
would know somebody's pretty though.
Right. No, that's not a love bomb is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because it's
okay.
Like that's just like fact. But if you're like talking about how like they're such a great person and like saying things that like you don't know about them, like I feel like that's kind of where it becomes like love bombing, where it's like you're saying things that
But isn't paying for things, driving places, getting tickets for things, I mean, whether you like it or not, it has to be considered a love bomb until like a year later, unless it's still going on.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a fine line, just because like them doing nice things. But them doing a nice thing does not equal just like them love bombing you. Like,
it could be an awful person who never does nice things for people.
If they're doing an excessive amount, you're right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, okay, like where's like the regular amount versus where it becomes like, okay, this is too much. Like, you're not going to obviously be able to continue that for very long at all.
Pastor Craig, what do you think?
I'm probably not the guy to ask about this. I've been out of the market for so many years. But
you see it.
Well, yeah, I see it. And I mean, I can think of some specific instances where people, when they first started dating, you know, the buying the food, the going driving continues for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. But I do think that in probably majority of the relationship, there is a whole bunch of stuff at the beginning, and then it goes away when you become secure in that.
You know, and a lot of times, and this comes back to cult, in the love bomb, they will include themselves, so they're not losing. Like, if you buy somebody tickets to a concert or something of that nature, or a cult, you know, one of these, because honestly, these mega churches now, what I've noticed, it's music, it's a show, it's a whole thing now. People go to these things. It's interesting. But, you know, obviously they're coming with you, so they're buying themselves a ticket. It's not like you're, you know, going alone. You're probably going out for dinner. They're getting a nice dinner. So, you know, it's not all me, but still I think it falls under love bombing.
I think it's a fine line, like I said before.
Okay, let's say they're going to a concert. And you want to come to the concert with me? Okay. And this is something that they've had to pay for tickets for. And this is something they would not do had you not been there. Which is clearly what's probably going on if they're asking you. There's only very slim chances that that ever happens in another direction. I think that would have to be considered a love bomb.
Yeah, but you could go with your friends to a concert. Like, it's not like they were the only choice.
But usually you're paying for your ticket then.
If you go with friends.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think then it kind of relates to like, okay,
it's not
how expensive is this concert? Like, if it's like, if you're spending like hundreds of dollars to like show them like, oh, I have all this money and like I'm flaunting that, like that's more love bomby because it's like you can't maintain that type of thing.
What if you asked to pay for the ticket?
If like...
And they say, oh, no.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, but I'm just saying, I think then if they take the money, it maybe wasn't a love bomb.
Yeah.
But if they say, oh, no, don't worry about that. well, then might be something to it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you guys can be like, oh, like they're like, no, don't worry about it. Like, next time, like, I'll get it type thing. Or, like,
now, by the way, I'm not saying that everything is a love bomb, because if you're friends with somebody for a period of time, you're aware. You can go to events together. You can go to, I mean, how many sports teams do we have in Ohio, for goodness sakes? There's a ton of things you can do here.
At least six.
And colleges and la-di-das. You can do that. That's not necessarily a love bomb. But if this person you know has a romantic interest, and you know that there's some pursuing going on there, and they're doing it, that's different.
I think there's seven that I can think of now. Sorry, I just got really into thinking of all the sports teams.
Matt, what do you think?
You know, I think that as far as the love bombing thing goes, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think that maybe you might be going a little overboard with it, like Carrington's saying. I don't know that everything that you say that you're trying to get classified as love bombing is love
bombing.
Which
part didn't you like?
I don't know. I mean, just like, oh, like in terms of, like, I guess the buying the ticket part, that I mean, I guess that makes sense. That's agreeable. But, like, in terms of, like, I don't know. In terms of, like, I guess, like, driving, that thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know that the driving necessarily counts as love bombing, because, like, I don't know why it just doesn't make two sense to take two cars anyways. Like, that kind of thing.
Oh, I don't necessarily know that driving in and of itself is a love bomb. I mean, people ride. You and I have ridden together. I don't know that it's a love bomb going on.
No.
I'm just saying that there's a, you and I are co-workers,
like,
here.
A lot of the things you do with, like, you just a lot, like, you mentioned a lot of things that you would usually do with, like, your friends. Or,
I'm
like,
saying, I'll pick you up. I'll take you here. That's a love bomb.
I mean, I disagree. Personally, like, I like to drive. So, personally, I would much rather pick you up. Because I get nervous when I'm the passenger. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, for some reason, I just feel so much safer when I'm the one driving the car.
Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that if that's the reason, then you know that. You know that. And you say that. I'm just more comfortable driving. I'm not comfortable being a passenger. That's not always everybody's modus operandi. As a matter of fact, I think there's a term for that. What, passenger princess, something like that?
Yeah.
I've heard that before, so there you go. All this stuff. You work with young, you go to teach at school, you learn all these little things.
Yeah, the passenger princess.
So there's a whole thing about when the guy drives. And matter of fact, I think men can even be passenger princesses at some point.
Mm-hmm, they can.
So there you go.
Passenger prince.
Prince. What does that mean?
You're just getting, like, driven around, kind of.
You're the thing.
I mean, but so, no, maybe it's because they like driving. Like, if, like, Matt had
a girlfriend,
sure that's what it is. And he wanted to drive her.
So all that time in my second marriage, when I was referred to as the chauffeur, I didn't realize that I was married to a passenger princess.
Passenger princess.
Yep.
Because some people truly don't like to drive as much. There are some that people do like to drive. But if one of the things you like about somebody is the fact that they're driving you everywhere, examine that. That's all I'm saying. Figure out why that's happening.
Well, I mean, I think at some point you kind of have to realize that there can't be somebody who drives you everywhere, because people got their own things to do. I can't be driving you. If we're going somewhere together, that's different.
Here's where it happens. Let's say you have to go somewhere and you mention, oh, I don't want to really drive there. Oh, I can take you. Problem. That's where by that point, you probably know it's a date. If they're saying, oh, let's go or let's do this, that. If you know when somebody is pursuing you, there's a difference here. First, you have to decide if they're pursuing you. Then you can make these ideas about what's going on.
Am I being love bombed?
Yeah, am I being love bombed? You don't put that before the horse, because you give somebody a ride. You know, hitchhikers are not
passenger
passenger. That isn't the thing. You have to first thing in this whole thing. You have to say, does this person like me? Is that the idea?
Right, like, are they trying to win me over?
Then you start making these
Okay, so we're talking about in terms of if you were already being, like if you knew you were being, like, romantically pursued.
Yes, you have to know that
first. See, because I guess the way you're making it sound is just like, if you do these things, I feel like people just do those things all the time.
Nothing is blanket.
No sense.
By the way, I do want to remind, like, we were not love bombed when Harding paid for lunch yesterday. That was not a love bomb.
That's totally okay, Harding. You can pay for lunch anytime
but
you want.
But if one other person does that and say, here you go, could be a love bomb. Pay attention. We'll be back. All four of us will be back at noon. Pastor Craig's coming up next. And then, I didn't get a chance to say. Thank you for the birthday gift, by the way. Calvin, thank you so much out there in Idaho. That's a very nice gift. And I did tape Mary Ellen's speech, by the way. So as soon as I have a chance to edit that, hopefully we'll have it on tonight. So there you go, before the day is over. Pastor Craig coming up next, and we'll be back at noon.
The reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Wall.